Welcome to the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
The Fuhrer.
The Fuhrer?
Yes.
I thought you were the Conquistador.
No.
El Conquistador.
El Conquistador.
Conquistadors take orders from the Fuhrer.
Oh, there we go.
I shall conquistador you. I don't know. My throat's been a little rough this week.
Been a little rough.
I hope I can talk. I don't know.
Mine too.
But it's also...
It's the weather.
Yeah, it could be. The medicine I take too sometimes causes it. Yeah, because I'm old.
Because you're old.
Take
old. Conquistadors are kind of assholes too.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you know, enslaving the native population.
That's true. The Spaniards.
Stealing gold.
I thought the Spanish conquistadors.
Yeah.
They're the ones that came over and slaughtered the Mayans. And
yeah.
That's how we got, you know, mestizos, and that's how we got my grandmother.
And the Fuhrer, yeah. Leader.
It's one of those things like, man, they did some horrible things, but it's like, you know, my family wouldn't have been created in Mexico had it not been for them.
Horrible people. So how are you, fellas?
Good.
Yeah, good.
Dude, we are back. We didn't even tell people. We are at Misfit Toys. Back recording a live show for the... this is our third live show here, right?
Yeah. Third live show.
Yeah. Always glad to come back here. Daniel is awesome, allowing us to come record in this toy store full of vintage and modern stuff over on Yale Street and Heights. I don't know the exact address. I feel bad about that.
Yeah.
But
Yale
and 18th Street and Heights here in Houston, Texas. It's a really great place to buy some cool toys. You know, and Yarp, that's your agreement, but you know we have to give him our props because we're very gracious that he allows us to come here and record live shows for you. And it's the month of Halloween. We've been doing Halloween horrors this month in October, so you know we felt that it was appropriate to do one of our horror movies here at this store that is full of. I'm staring at Jason and Pennywise and Predator and Mike Myers figures right across from me. You know, Chucky. Ash, which is in the movie that we're going to talk today.
Yeah.
Pinhead. Lots of horror stuff. Horror makes for great action figures, I would say. You know, because they're kind of sometimes like Freddy Krueger or Jason, grotesque type characters that make for good sculpting and good characters. You know?
Yeah, there's some Leatherface ones that I saw over there, but I'm going to have to get those at another time. My budget allowed for Felicity Shagwell from... Austin Powers.
That's so sad. If you go home and jag yourself to that figure, you have a problem.
No. I just turn on the film.
Oh, well, either way, you have a problem.
what about Heather Graham and Boogie Nights?
Either way, you have a problem.
It's a reminder that Daniel wants to keep things G.
That's why I kept the G rated. He was taking it too far.
Exactly.
I used a British slang that was suggestive. I didn't actually, you know, say it outright what Matt would be doing at home.
Yes.
But so it's a good week, man. We had some good weather in Houston. Our Astros are a win away from the World Series. By the time y'all hear this Monday morning, we hope they're in the World Series.
Yes.
So that is good. Game 6 here tonight on Saturday night. And but man, I always like when we do shows here. It gets my blood kind of flowing, kind of pumped because I love action figures and toys and science fiction and cool stuff. Right, Long?
Yarp.
Long, you're not nervous, are you?
No.
And I'm wearing sunglasses indoors because it helps me not feel like people are staring at me. Because sometimes it's hard for me to do these live shows.
Is it kind of like that kid from Big Daddy? You gotta wear the sunglasses.
I don't even remember that.
I thought you were agoraphobic. Like the bench warmers.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen that? Goes outside, you can scream at the sky. Ah.
No, I'm just feeling a little bit of social anxiety today, so the sunglasses help.
And
then Matt has his weird Tony Stark glass on.
Right.
Problem is, though, you can't grow a goatee because, like, you have no, you know, so.
I could.
It doesn't quite work.
Could if I wanted to.
It would take, like, a year?
Nope. I have those keratin fibers that
wow,
I
that's
for
sad.
Now.
Really sad.
You can really, you can
How
use
How old
it
are you?
I am 33.
Just accept the baldness like me and Long, okay?
Nope.
It's okay.
I'm only bald in one place. Yeah. No.
He rubs the CBD oil over here.
You could also Rogaine actually works. They don't want you to use it on your face, but Rogaine.
Why do you know all this?
Huh? Because I know things. That's what I do. I just know things. They may not be relevant.
That's because it's white jeans.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, put me on a game show, I'm great. But you know, ask me something intelligible, and I might struggle a little bit.
Well, on that note, since we are live at Misfit Toys, let's officially get the show started. Download this. That's where we tell people what we listened to, watched, checked out, played this week. And what have you guys consumed into your Shagwell Rogaine brains this week?
Yeah.
Just anime.
Huh? Anime?
That's it.
Okay. Specifically?
Nothing that none of these folks would care about.
Oh, okay. So nothing from Funimation?
Actually, no.
Nothing from Funimation?
Just continuation of stuff I've talked about.
He's into that underground shit. You know, it's like it's you know, we're not cool enough for it.
I'm too couture for this show.
That's right. We're not cool enough for it.
Yeah. I've been trying to watch a horror movie every day. It doesn't work you know, a lot, especially if you're busy, but I did watch The Conjuring 1 and 2 and The Nun and Ouija.
One's the best out of all of them.
Ooh,
yeah.
You know, I kinda like I like The Nun. You know, The Nun was pretty good. It was it wasn't a story that was based on true events from the Warrens. It's just kind of like a side story. But it relies heavily on jump scares. There's a lot of jump scares.
You know, people take that challenge to watch a movie every day at Halloween. I'm lucky if I can get 30 movies in the whole year.
Yeah.
Plus the 52 we do on the show for every week.
Yeah.
I'm lucky if I get 30 extra movies. I don't know how they can do it every day. You know?
Yeah, I've done that. What else? Oh, I watched Sleepaway Camp 3.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That one, yeah. And then,
but you didn't answer my question, which was the best out of The Conjuring.
Oh, on just The Conjuring? I would say...
Which one did you enjoy the most?
Oh, never mind.
I would say that I enjoyed the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like the first one the best. It's based off of a haunting... That is from a true story, and it does go back into the 1776.
Well, loosely based on
a true story. Well, even the second one, like, it's the Warrens. And, like, I mean, obviously the movie exaggerates a little bit. It's not exactly the way it is, but they are based on true occurrences. The one that's, like, very loosely is the second one. The second Conjuring, they actually proved that it was a hoax. That these people were actually faking it, but then they switched it around in the movie. They leave the house and then they realize things are real and they come back. But yeah, I liked all of them. I need to watch Annabelle Comes Home. But yeah, I watched four or five horror movies this week. It was fun.
I started watching Raising Dion on Netflix, which is of course produced by Michael B. Jordan, and he stars in it. I guess it's, I don't know if it's based on a comic or not. I know it was like a short film. And it's essentially this young boy. It's family friendly, which is nice. Because sometimes now with the streaming stuff, it's hard to find stuff that the kids can watch. And it's about a young boy. He's like 7 years old. And his dad has died, which is, it's really sad, but it's also really well written.
Yeah.
And he has like these powers. And his mom is, real. You know, well, what am I going to do? She's going to figure out how to... She wants to keep the government from getting to him and all that. And
reanimated?
No, it's live action, and it's really well done so far. Michael B. Jordan actually stars in it too, as the father. And so I'm a couple of episodes in, and I was like, surprisingly, for Netflix, it feels a bit network-ishy. Does that make sense? You know, because they try to keep
ABC,
it family friendly.
Yeah.
But it's good enough that I think I'll keep watching. It's only 9 episodes. The kids really liked it.
Michael B. Chipmunk.
And but a good job on it so far with Raising Dion. It's on Netflix.
Speaking of short films, did you guys ever catch that? We never mentioned this at all, but the Battle at Big Rock, the Jurassic Park short.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's directed by Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah. Who did he direct?
Jurassic World.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did watch that a couple. I don't remember it all. It was a couple weeks ago when I watched it, but I did watch it.
Yeah, it's just...
It's like 8 minutes. It's not real long.
It's an 8-minute short film.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about a family. They're camping. Or not camping. They're living off the grid. And then their campsite gets attacked by a dinosaur.
Oh, wow.
From Jurassic World. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's right.
You have to catch that and watch it.
Yeah, I guess it was meant to be a tie-in at some point, I guess, with... to go to Jurassic World 2, but then whenever he didn't direct Jurassic World 2, you know, they end up, I guess, scrapping it, so they just released it out there to the world for people to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and Jurassic World, of course, went...
Yeah, this one's supposed to tie into Jurassic World 3.
Is it going
to
tie in with it? So they're going to bring it back and tie it around.
Yeah.
So, who's directing 3? Did they ever say?
Yeah, Colin Trevorrow.
Oh, he's going to come back and do the third one?
Sam Neill.
Got fired from from Star Wars, so he's going to come back and...
Probably left Hammond,
yeah.
I guess he left Star Wars because he didn't like the direction that the middle one was going.
Yeah.
It's like, it was just throwing his plans out the window.
And,
I'm more excited to have J.J. Abrams back anyways.
And this isn't big enough to put in the news briefs later, but Monday night we get the new trailer during Monday Night Football.
On Carrie Fisher's birthday.
For the Rise of Skywalker.
You're really obsessed with that.
Yo, it's funny because...
It was on purpose, man.
Every time we recorded Misfits, we were close to Rise... Last time we recorded, we got the Rise of Skywalker trailer that weekend. Okay. And now here we're recording again, and we're going to have the Rise of Skywalker trailer on Monday.
It's a sign.
It's a sign.
I figured it was going to come soon because...
Well, it was 2 months before the film.
And my son was born on the 9th of October 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, we got the... 2 years ago, we got the Last Jedi trailer that night. So I knew it was going to come back up again somewhere around this time.
But yeah.
Yeah, so we get the trailer. Hopefully it's... like you said, you know, I know you mentioned you hope that they follow the Russo brothers on this and... But they show us just a little bit.
I hope it's not a huge story trailer. I hope they show us just enough to make us excited for December 20th.
Yeah.
So that's all I want.
That's fair.
So, but yeah.
I'll watch it with you guys.
Yeah?
Yeah, whoever's available first.
I want to go. I've never gone to any of these new sequels on Thursday nights, so I'd like to try to do that this time, to do a Thursday night.
Doable.
Since football season will be over by then, so there won't be practice or anything like that. By where we live.
Yeah.
Yep. You can usually get tickets there pretty easily compared to some theaters.
Because it's ghetto.
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah, they fixed it up, though.
They fixed it up, yeah.
That's where I went and saw Endgame, and I didn't have to buy tickets online that day. I got tickets very easily for Endgame that day.
Yeah, I saw Endgame with Jake over there, too.
Yeah. The Rise of Skywalker. I'm excited. Yes. And then only about 3 weeks away from The Mandalorian, November 12th.
That's right.
Disney Plus. So apparently the screening copies have gone out already for reviews of The Mandalorian.
Oh, wow.
For the first couple of episodes. So reviews are going to start hitting the net. So we'll see. Good stuff. So let's get into this week's Halloween Horrors feature movie. The month of October, we have talked some pretty cool films so far.
Yeah.
The Monster Squad.
The Monster Squad.
Dude, oh, real quick, my buddy Ronnie at work. Ronnie, I'm calling you out on this. He told me, man, I finally watched Monster Squad and it sucked. Like, Ronnie, dude, you didn't grow up with it, man. He doesn't know what's up with that movie.
When you're ready,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You have to kind of grow up watching it, but it's not. It doesn't suck.
I tell you, Ronnie, you're not the only one.
All right, that's it.
The nostalgic glasses didn't hold up either.
Fire long. Then we did...
It had Uncle Rico in it. Come on, man.
Then we did 28 Days Later. 28 Days Later is a fantastic movie.
Absolutely.
Then last week we did Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. And now today, Live at Misfit Toys with an evil Ash figure right there on the wall, we are doing Army of Darkness. Or almost called The Medieval Dead, but the studio didn't like that.
Yeah.
Then it was going to be called Evil Dead 3, The Medieval Dead. Studio was like, no. Then it was going to be called Evil Dead 3, Army of Darkness. And the studio was like, well, it doesn't really have much to do with the other two except for the book and the characters, so they just shorted it to Army of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Sam Raimi fought against it, but he did not win.
Sam Raimi and his brother.
Yes. I mean, Sam Raimi lost a lot of things in this movie. It took a year for it to get released. It was in the can. Bruce Campbell spent a lot of time promoting the movie, and he got sick and tired of promoting the movie and was kept going to the studio like, where is this film? Why is it not out yet? And then they just sort of threw it out there, and it made no money. And that's why it's become a cult classic.
Yeah, and it's very slapstick compared to Evil Dead 2. Dead before...
I think all three of them are pretty slapstick.
No, the first one is not.
It's not, but if you watch it with a certain eye, it could be considered slapstick, you know?
Which part?
Like, the way they're, like, they're making their eyes big and they're all acting, like, crazy, you know?
I mean, it was pretty, like... You know, it was pretty old-school horror to me.
It is.
I mean, it may be a little bit... I think whenever the girl's popping out of the basement, maybe, that's some slapstick in there.
So we're going to summarize this?
Yeah.
Summarize Army of Darkness.
Long?
Army of Darkness. Okay, Army of Darkness. Ash, there's a nice little, quick little tag in the beginning with the Evil Dead 2. Ash gets transported to the medieval world, and what was it?
King Arthur finds him.
It's not Arthur. It was King Arthur.
Well, they're his knights, isn't it?
It was Lord Arthur, but the Red...
Oh, Henry, they thought he was with Henry the Red.
Right.
So they mistake him for one of his men.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which they're at war with.
Yeah, and basically, Ash is trying to destroy the Necronomicon.
They prophesize that he's the one that's supposed to save them, and they throw him in a dungeon. Once they see him kill one of the Deadites, then they're like, okay, we believe you.
Yeah, he killed one of the Deadites, which is a big achievement. And, I just want to hit the main points.
Okay.
Ash gets himself cloned by little mini Ashes.
Yeah.
Which is an awesome scene.
That is a funny scene.
There was no, like, scan lines or nothing. It was amazing.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, you know how green screen is?
Yeah.
You know, you don't see the green screen or blue screen outlines. It's done so well. He tried to kill all the little mini Ashes, and one of the Ashes get inside his body. And then he gets cloned, becomes a two-headed Ash, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then he kills evil Ash, and what was it? And then he tries to just, what?
Well, evil Ash calls upon the Deadeye army.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that funny scene with real Ash trying to get at the triple Necronomicons.
Yeah.
And then, Evil Ash gets resurrected along with the Army of Darkness. Ash ends up in the modern day and starts killing leftovers. I saw the perspective. I didn't get to the time to watch the movie. I'm sorry.
It's only an hour and 20 minutes long.
I love this movie. There's so much slapstick. The reason the studio didn't like it is because they're like, oh, you know, there's not enough romance, and then the female lead is uninteresting.
Which is funny, because in the director's cut, they add a lot of stuff with the female into it.
Yeah.
About 5 minutes.
And then, you know, Ash is kind of like everywhere. It's like, first he's like, I'm this leader and this warrior, I'm awesome. And then he's like, I want nothing to do with this. Quit putting this responsibility on me.
And that's I'm like you. I enjoy the heck out of this movie.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot of problems. If you really want to pick it apart, it's a little all over the place.
Yeah.
It's like, he's here, he's there, he's everywhere. The plot moves at lightning speed. You're like, okay, wait, what's going on? Yeah. It's only an hour and 20 minutes long. The director's cut's about 10 minutes longer. It helps out some of the problems. Mm-hmm. But you forgive a lot of it because, let's be honest, Bruce Campbell owns this freaking film.
He does.
You know, he's really good at it.
This is what he does best.
Yeah.
And I think this is just how he is. He's that cheesy, charismatic, charming B actor who has the cheesiest lines ever. Give me some sugar, baby. Oh, that's just what we call pillow talk, baby.
Right.
Man, and then this is my boomstick, and then for some reason he needs a metal hand. I need this metal hand.
There's like no reason for it. Yeah, it's just there.
Yeah.
You know, I was introduced to Bruce Campbell not through Evil Dead, but through the Briscoe County Junior TV show.
Right.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they only had like, one or two seasons.
Yeah, that was the first, in high school, that was the first time I kind of saw him, too. Yeah.
That's a good show. I thought it was a very creative Western, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I was surprised at how much of a fantasy movie this was.
Yeah.
And it was a big departure from the second movie. Because really, I don't really count the first Evil Dead movie.
You don't?
No, because, well, I do.
I do because of what?
The Evil Dead 2 is basically the same.
See, I don't like the second one because I feel it's just the same thing as the first one, only sillier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell had to go, like sleep in gyms, like school gyms and everything to get the first film even off the ground. They had a lot of investors. And finally, at a film festival in Sweden, they did really well. And it got real popular over there, which allowed for them to get more investors. And they released it in the States, and then it became a cult classic. And it made Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi a household name.
Right.
You know, you had there was a story about how they needed a place to sleep, and Sam Raimi made Bruce Campbell call up this girl that really liked him. And he didn't really like her because she was obsessed with him. And he had to do some things with her so that they could have a place to sleep at night.
It did, but it also backfired on Bruce Campbell because of some of his complaining about the movie not getting released and the year it took. He couldn't really get a job after this very much unless it was for Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
This was his first and only starring role in a film that made it to theaters, because you know, I know he did Bubba Hotep and things like that.
Yeah.
But it also cost his career a little bit because he came across as a bit of a prima donna because of this film. Mm-hmm. You know.
I remember his TV show, Jack of All Trades.
Oh yeah,
I like that. You know, he's He's the best of the B actors, in my opinion. Just at least one of the best of the B actors.
The 90s, for sure. You yeah. might go back 70s and 80s and find some good ones, but yeah.
And, man, the slapstick in this film... Yeah, we talk about the slapstick, and what's funny is that this film was getting an NC-17 rating.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't find it ultra-violent.
And then you have other films with, like, blood and guts everywhere, and they're getting rated R, but they wanted NC-17 for this film. Mm. I don't know why. Maybe it's because...
I mean, the director's cut does have a nude scene in it and stuff, but they took it out of the main cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I remember that. That's... Some of the parts are just over the top whenever he's relaxing and talking with some of the other people and someone gets possessed.
Did you watch it on Amazon Prime?
I did.
Or on Stars or whatever.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting that they don't show the director's cut on streaming now, because most of the time now the streaming stuff's all the new cuts of the film. So this one was still the original hour and 20-minute cut.
I thought part of the director's cut was the ending where he's at S-Mart.
Well, that's one of the cuts. There's literally like there's three different films versions of this
film.
That's
right.
Yeah. There's the full director's cut, 90 minutes. There's the S-Mart cut that's like a few minutes longer. And then there's the original cut that still has all the S-Mart stuff in it. It's just a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like literally three different versions
Shop
of this film.
S-Mart. Shop S-Mart.
He's a rich man. He's born. He wakes up far in the future. Like doomsday in the future.
No, that was going to be this version. They actually... They filmed it. I don't know if that's ever been released, though. They filmed the version where he transports back through time at the end and ends up in the future.
Like UK version.
Right, apocalyptic version, because the idea was going to be, if they did Evil Dead 4, it was going to be in the future. And but the audiences didn't like that. They wanted him to get the girl and have a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed the cut on that, yeah.
Yeah, they said the post-apocalyptic version seemed more appropriate because that's Ash's character.
Yeah.
He would screw up and end up, you know, waking up in the bad future instead of being in the future you belong to.
And the funny, one funny part in this movie was when he's explained to people he's from the future, and they all buy into it. Most of the time in these movies are like, oh, no way, you know, I don't believe it and all this, but like all these people in the King Arthur era buy right into hook, line, and sinker. Okay, sure, you're from the future. How do we get you back? And they believe it. You know, that's what's so crazy about it. It's like they're not even blown away. Like, wow, this guy's from the future. And that's why the plot's kind of just moved so quickly. Because, you know, if this had been like a standard drama, they would have spent 20 minutes trying to figure out if he really was from the future.
Yeah. What's the most comedic scene in this film for you?
Transform, I think I've ever had trouble with it. I still like the scene with the evil clones.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Good, good intuition.
Well, in the part where the evil clone is breaking away from his body.
Oh, yeah.
That made me laugh because he's walking around with his fake head, you know, and he's selling it like it's realistic. that's a pretty funny scene.
Yeah. I like the clone scene, too, with the little mini ashes. I think it's hilarious. And even the opening sequence, whenever they put him in the pit and all that, and the night creature, and he's just like, oh, come on, man, and they keep coming at him. He delivers his lines quite well.
This is definitely more comedic elements than this one.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, I mean, the first Evil Dead was just straight up horror.
Right.
And the second one had elements of humor. And then this one was full grown.
Yeah. And I actually saw this before I saw the original Evil Dead. I actually saw this first, so I went back and saw the original Evil Dead. I'm like, this is like a completely different genre type of film. But Army of Darkness still fits in the horror genre too, because it has a lot of horror elements. You know, it has creatures and deadites and skeletons and lots of blood and gore. So it fits in that vein too, and you know, as a Halloween horror movie.
Yeah, I saw it everywhere on the back of comic books back in the day.
Oh yeah, this was a
video games.
It was a widely publicized film. Lots of marketing behind it. Lots of playing on HBO and stuff like that back in the day. Lots of video store rentals. It just didn't find an audience in theaters, and part of that was the studio mingling with it and taking a long time to release. And it did okay at the box office, but it just didn't do great.
Wasn't there an idea for a game where he fights Michael Myers and Freddy and Jason?
Not that I remember.
I could have sworn that I read that.
But there have been Army of Darkness games, mobile games. Was there ever a console game for this show? I know there's been mobile games out.
Yeah.
And things like that. Lots of comic books. I mean, Ash has become embedded into our pop culture through mostly through this film. Yeah. I think this is arguably the film that gave him that pop culture presence, because the first two are more just straight up horror films, where this one he had the chainsaw in the hand, you can make a costume out of him, you can make an action figure out of him,
yeah.
You can market him to fight Jason and Freddy in comic books and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why this film is the film that put the character of Ash and Bruce Campbell on the map, that made Army of Darkness a pop culture sensation that it is today, you know, almost 30 years after the film came out.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. My first time seeing this film, I think I was like 10, and I didn't think it was.
You seem to like watch a lot of horror movies when you were 10.
I did. That's like, I mean, I was really young in all this. I mean, I know it was well before high school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could have been like 12 or 13, maybe.
Right.
But, I mean, I kind of had a freedom that I used to watch horror films and to get well versed in them. I can pretty much watch everything, and this isn't one of those films where you have to have a stomach for horror.
No,
this isn't.
Because it's got fantasy elements to it too.
I can't really think of an '80s film that's really brutal. Unless, you know, maybe parts of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but. Yeah, well, that's 74. But, I mean, you know what I mean. There's not a whole lot of brutal, brutal 80s horror, because it's a lot of corn syrup.
Right.
Now, it's much.
I don't know. Then again, in Dream Wars last week, when he's making the one character his marionette with his veins, that was pretty brutal.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
So, it depends on your version of brutal. But, you know.
Yeah, this week was really the first real time I actually saw Army of Darkness. And, all I have to say is the movie's very creative. It's not done by committee like movies are done today. If you ever see the opening credits to Star Trek Discovery, there's 21 producers on there.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, 21 producers credited, but anyways. Wow.
On this, on Star Trek Discovery?
Yeah, the TV show on CBS Access. And, I love the humor. I love how animated Bruce Campbell is, and I love how it just throws you a lot of curveballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It doesn't care if it's doing something off the wall.
Yeah. It's. That's what I like. I'm Army of Darkness. Take me as I am. You know.
Yeah.
I like the beginning though. Necronomicon, bound in human flesh, inked in human blood.
Yeah.
The demon resurrection skull.
The funny thing too is when he's trying to recite the words, it's like it's loosely taken from the day the Earth stood still, Nikto Barata and
Klaatu.
Yeah. Barata. But he's really, he says Barata instead of Barata, because everyone thinks he says Barata, but he doesn't quite say it because of copyright issues. They didn't want to say the exact same words.
Yeah.
So they change it just enough to keep from getting in trouble. And that's the kind of a thing that people over the years thought he was saying that from the day the Earth stood still.
That's probably my favorite sequence. I know your words.
And he keeps saying it wrong.
Yeah, and then he's like,
yeah.
And that's
funny.
And then he gets back, he's like, did you say the words? I may not have said every single syllable, but I said them. Yeah. You fool.
So you think we'll ever get the fourth one? They keep talking about it.
We had the TV show.
Not today's corporate climate.
Well, and I've heard the TV show's hit or miss. I've never watched it. It only ran two seasons. Mm-hmm. I've heard there are some episodes that are really well done and some that they said... I've heard it goes from really bad and horrible to really good, the TV show.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if y'all have watched any of it.
Spielberg and Scorsese are having a hard time getting the movies made.
Yeah.
And then Sam Raimi, who we haven't seen the movie made from it since Spider-Man.
That Crawl came out.
Did he do Crawl?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, he did Crawl with the alligator. It's available for rent now.
He directed that?
He directed it.
Oh. Yeah. I could see Netflix doing, maybe have an interest in a movie like this, you know, a sequel. Netflix seems to be really into buying nostalgic properties right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting He-Man and Transformers cartoons and things like that. So, you know, maybe Netflix would be interested in doing an Evil Dead 4, you know, eventually. You know.
That would be cool.
So, it's possible.
Bruce Campbell can still do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
It's definitely a B-plus movie.
Yeah, B-plus.
Yeah. I think it ranges from a B-plus. There's moments of that I'll jump it up to an A-minus. Just some really, just, you know, strong comedy moments and stuff. Even though y'all say I don't like comedy, I find parts of this movie funny.
The last part is great. I mean, he has a friggin' 410 Rossi lever-action shotgun, and it's only meant to hold like 5 rounds, yet he probably shoots like 16 rounds.
Well, that's classic Hollywood, though. I mean, watch a John Woo film. They never run out of bullets, you know?
Yeah, but they have a magazine. This is a tube gun.
It's a movie, man.
Yeah,
just go. You just go with it.
I mean, I go with it because it's slapstick. You know, and that's it, you know, it's supposed to be like that. And then he just rips off his shirt, holsters his weapon.
Give me some sugar, baby.
But a good fun film. Fits appropriate into our Halloween horrors month. And so we've got a sub feature today. Are we gonna try to hit that now? We're gonna bring Daniel on for the show, and see if he's ready. Because before we do the news, well, our idea here is we're doing our 3 to 5 scariest moments in movies that we enjoy. And that's our sub feature today, and we're gonna bring Daniel on from Misfit Toys and let him talk with us. Because we're so thankful that he lets us come here and record. And he is with a customer at the moment, but he's on the way.
Oh, there he is. End of the hour.
There he is.
Right. We're
going to
share our top 5. And since you might be you want to give us your top 5.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Houston.
Thanks, Daniel, for having us again.
Hey, no problem, man.
And this is always coming in and recording.
Treat.
This awesome store.
A delight.
Yeah. So,
hey, is this thing on?
It's on. I can hear you.
It's live.
You sound sexy.
Excellent. My mom tells me that all the time. All right.
So, we're, of course, doing Halloween horrors this month. We just talked Army of Darkness. So, we want to share with our 5 scariest moments in movies or television, I guess. There's scary television out there, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? So, and we know you're a huge horror fan. So
oh, I am.
We wanted to have you on the show and talk a little bit about it.
Absolutely, yeah. For horror, a lot of people don't know, when we opened the shop, just this first room was just my horror movie collection of posters and toys, and people were like amazed, but it didn't take long before they wanted me to start carrying Transformers, Marvel Legends and stuff. But my love and my expertise, and I'm definitely like a horror movie snob, you know.
Right.
I know my horror movies, and there is a like visceral effect when I watch a horror movie. I feel it. I'm like in it, man. And I'm not prejudiced against any new movies either. I'll take the new like the old. Of course, I'm an 80s guy. I mean, I saw most of the Freddy Krueger movies in the theater. Awesome. You know, I was born in 75, so my parents would like drop me off at the mall and be like, see you later. You know, and you know, you can watch a movie for $3 back in the day, you know. And
for sure,
I was just, they were weird back then, those theaters. You would like exit the theater and you'd have to go back in, so I'd pay $3 more. I'd watch the movie sometimes twice, right. You know, that kind of thing. But I like the only decor that I have in my house are like horror movie posters, horror movie toys, you know, a little bit of this and that. A lot of people give us gifts that aren't horror or stuff, but they stay up for about a year. then they get rid of them. But I love my horror. I love it. It's like, comedies are great, dramas are amazing. I love foreign films, but when it's like, last night I was watching Demons, Dario Argento. You know, this is like Italian horror.
Yeah.
And it is like, just gruesome, no point to the movie.
Yeah.
People are sitting in the movie theater. The movie they're watching comes to life. The demons come through the movie. They're eating people. They're scratching people. It's gross. And it's like, this is horror.
Those Italian films, man. Delicatessen, City of Children.
Oh, forget about it. Yeah.
They use that visual director for Seven. That's why Seven looks so good, too.
Yes. Yeah. Seven's one of my all-time favorite movies. Slow burn, but you need it to be like that because you already know. Mm-hmm. Something big is coming.
What do you think of the Suspiria remake?
I liked it. I am not one of those people to tell you don't go watch a remake because, Jesus Christ, Pet Sematary was amazing.
Yeah.
What was that about? It was like, okay, new twist, amazing twist, better, way, way better cinematography, the sound, the new elements with the children, with the drumming. I loved every minute of it. I bought it right away, you know. Hereditary, you know, the new movies that are coming out that are, you know, in the same ballpark of like Silence of the Lambs, you know, stuff like that, where it's horror, but it's like sophisticated horror, where like you have to kind of be like, into horror to understand where you're going. No, you know, scares, right? Did anybody see Summer? What is it? Midsummer?
Midsummer?
No, yeah. I've heard a lot about it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's gonna. It's wow. Yeah. It's messed up.
So 2003. You know, we got our first remake. It was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh yeah.
And then we got Black Christmas, and then we got another. We got a remake on Friday the 13th. Remake on Halloween, and it's I feel like it's gotten a groove, and we've gotten a resurgence of horror films, and maybe they rely a little bit more on jump scare than, you know, thrilling and chilling long drawn out scenes. But you know, I'm just like you, you know, I'm all for the new horror.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The one that knocked it out of the park before any of the remakes really took foot was Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, Dawn of the Dead.
And this was a movie that was released 6 weeks after The Passion of the Christ. And for 1 week, in like 6 months, that movie knocked out that movie for 1 week out of the number one spot. And then it became number one again, which just shows you it took like epic horror. That movie's great because those are track star zombies, man.
I'm not as big of a horror movie fan as he is, but I actually really like Dawn of the Dead. I actually somehow ended up seeing that in theaters with a buddy of mine because he wanted to go, and I was kind of like, oh, I really want to go see a zombie film. And I walked out of that going, like, that was really good. You know,
it was a good movie. It was phenomenal. Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder. Right after that, he just like, rock star, you know. But yeah, it was definitely. Love the horror.
So let's any honorable mentions before we hit our top five?
Any honorable mentions?
Like ones that you almost got in the top five, but you're like, man, it's not quite there. But you're like, it's worth a mention.
There's too much like what we were talking about. There's too much stuff that people are going to be like, oh, The Shining, yeah, the elevator, that's great. Yeah. But there's some I pick things that are just a little more on the down low. Yeah. So those will be fun to talk about because everybody knows the regular stuff.
Right. Yeah, I have one honorable mention, and it has to be the beginning act of the original Blair Witch Project, where the chick was talking about the backstory of the sacrifices of the people, and they're saying, "Oh yeah, they said that they laid these bodies on this rock in this certain formation," and it was a chilling story.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
my honorable mention. So
very nice. But the dialogue is just as scary, and you imagine it, you know, wow, you know, so it's pretty cool.
So, what's your top five, Daniel?
All right, I'm gonna run these by quick, so. You guys can, we can hear yours. I'm going to hit y'all with some new stuff first. Hereditary. Toni Collette should have won the Oscar for this because she played somebody who was probably symptomatic of schizophrenia and all this other stuff. But it turns out, you know, don't want to give too many spoilers, but her family was crazy. They were doing crazy stuff. The scene is she's running after her son in the dark. And somehow manages to climb the walls and is banging her head ferociously on the attic door. And it is loud and she's screaming and it is terrifying. Yeah. And that kid is like, that's my mom. She's like floating and like banging her head like on the attic. What is up? You know, I saw this movie and I straight up screamed when I saw that in the theater. I mean, it was like a high-pitched scream. Yeah. It was epic.
Because it built it, huh?
It was, oh god, that movie is messed up. It's you watching, you're like, oh, the good guys aren't gonna win this one, you know. And that's the thing, this is America, this isn't like Europe where they like to let the bad guys win more than once in a while. This was like, hey, you're in for a roller coaster. This movie is it was terrifying. The whole movie was very thrilling and a lot of visuals, you know, and just great intensity. The music, forget about it, the music was like The Shining, you know, like the music was alive. My next one is The Pale Man, when he wakes up from in Pan's Labyrinth.
That's a good one.
And he puts his eyeballs, which are resting on a little plate, and he puts them in his hand. And the way he sees the little girl is he puts his hand in the air and the eye comes to life and it sees her. But the thing is, he's terrifying. But the Harbinger is there. You know, she's looking at these paintings of this monster slaying children and eating them like alive, and she still can't put it together because she's a little kid. But when that thing starts twitching and he's like, all this noise, you're like, oh god, it's alive.
That is probably my favorite Del Toro film.
Absolutely. And that it's in Spanish too, mm-hmm. makes it just the flavor, the language, the dialogue, just beautiful.
We did that on an episode, that movie, and I took my mom to see it. And my mom normally doesn't like that kind of stuff, but she loved the film. So that tells you the movie did something right. Oh, yeah. If my mom loved it, and she's 66 nice. Now, you know, and so that the movie did something right if you got my mother to like that film.
Oh yeah.
Is Del Toro, Guillermo del Toro was supposed to direct Seven, but he thought that it was too gory for him, and then he thought it was Pan's Labyrinth. So it went to Fincher. So Fincher directed Seven.
Yeah. There's that part where he's like that's the one. You're like stop. Too real. Demons One. Dario Argento. There is a guy in this movie. He's a African American gentleman, but he's Italian, and they dubbed him with like the most New York street accent. You know, he's like, "Everybody, please pay attention. The demons are coming." And I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me!" But you know, it's the '70s. It's awful. You hear the original one; he just sounds Italian. You know. Well, there's a part in the movie where he's fighting off these demons, and these gory demons, and they transfer the infection through their fingernails and bites. Well, he's trying to jump over a car, and one of them just takes that claw and grabs his junk, and he is just mashing it with those claws. Blood is popping out of his sweatpants, and the guy lets out a scream that's just like jarring. He's like, like that. It's just like, it doesn't sound like a normal screen. It's just like he's throwing up almost. And I watch it, I'm like, Jesus Christ, just slash my throat or something, man. Why you got to do that? Right. Yeah. One that's kind of a classy horror movie is The Others, Nicole Kidman. Her and her children find some tombstones, and the family that's been taking care of the house, they know their names. They're like the Whitakers or something like that. And their names are on the three tombstones. And when they turn around, they're walking towards them. Yeah. And it's really, you know, the violins come, and they're all in these black clothes. And but they're not doing anything. They're just walking very Pepe Le Pew-like, you know, just walking slowly. But they are catching up to them. And it's like, oh, my God, they're ghosts. Yeah. But then, of course, there's a monster twist at the end. But I sat there in the theater, and when that part happened, like, every woman in that theater screamed. And it was just so simple. There was nothing gory.
Me and my mom saw that together. Yeah.
But you're like, Jesus, there goes. Dude, my God.
That was such a big twist. I remember that. That was that was still impact. That's still impact.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, the cover, when she opens the cover, and this old lady, and she's blind. You know, she's blind. Her eyes are wide. But I screamed. I was like, Jesus. All people are scary enough already, man. Their eyes are all, you know. Just, and my last one is, of course, the King of Horror, Stephen King, where the Jed gets his Achilles heel cut by, I think it's Cage. The little Gage, yeah. And that still, even in the new Cemetery. One, they Pet Cemetery.
The original one?
The original. Okay. There's just something, the new one's a lot more gruesome, a lot more gory. But there's just something about a little, like a baby. He was like a baby. He's like 3 years old. And he was, you know, he has this entity inside of him now. Like, he's got no soul. So, when I see that, it gets me every time. You're like, oh, not the Achilles heel. Jesus Christ.
You know what freaks me out sometimes? Because Michael kind of looks like a grown-up Gage to me. And if he cut his hair... And sometimes, like, if I'm watching a bunch of horror movies and I come over to Mark's house, I've never told him this before, I kind of get like an eerie feeling.
Your head's creepy.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
I think he's gonna come.
I'm gonna tell Michael to stare at you now every time you come over. Like, just stare at Matt. Very creepy.
And those are definitely some of my top five favorites. I mean, there's like a million good things. I love all horror. You know, I have a 2-year-old, finally. I have a kid, you know, she's 2, and she doesn't like horror movies yet. I show her creepy stuff, and she's like, no thanks.
That's what Michael is. I try to get him just to watch A Quiet Place, which is that's a good entry horror film.
Yeah.
And he won't watch it. He's like, I don't know, Dad, it just looks too scary. No, I'm like, it's just...
I don't watch House.
A Quiet Place is just suspenseful, Michael. It's just
House 2 is over the top hilarious. It's a 0% on Tomato Meter for a reason, but an audience score of like 90%.
That's a good one.
Yeah, my son, I felt like I've done a good job. It was raining a few weeks ago, and our street flooded a little bit. and I made a paper boat, and I was about to put it down. And he's like, Dad, wait. You have to write SS Georgie on it.
Oh.
And I'm like, yes,
oh my God.
I've done it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he'll watch anything with me. And one time I had to stop him from watching this, but there's a YouTube page called The Kill Count, and they talk about the deaths and murders.
I love that page, yeah.
Yeah. And I caught him watching it, and I didn't know he was watching it. And I had to stop. I was like, nah, your mother's freaking out about it. I was like, let's tone it down a bit. So he's into it. I've definitely indoctrinated him.
Very nice. I know she'll come over to the dark side in time. I have a very funny story when it comes to horror movies. And my friends, we're all the same age. We're in our 40s, but they started early with their kids. I'm barely having kids, you know. Yeah. And my friend Jeff tells me, he goes, oh, man, I got in so much trouble the other day. I was like, what happened? He goes, my wife was taking my youngest to the dentist. She's like, we're going to be gone all day. And the older son is like 7. He's like, hey, you want to watch Aliens? Yeah. And he's like, your favorite movie? Mom said we're not supposed to watch those. He's like, well, Mom don't know, won't hurt her.
That's right.
And, you know, nothing happens in Aliens for the first hour and change, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like, he's like, Dad, this movie's like wicked boring and nothing's happened. And he's like, yeah, this is the 80s movies. You know, this is how it goes. And this is technically the first action horror. You know, it was like the first one that really made money. And he said the minute those aliens popped out of the wall and started eating people, he was like, I'm done. I'm out. And then he told his mom what happened, and he got in big trouble. But it just kind of goes back to that whole, I want to share this with my kid. And my wife is cool. She's not going to let me show her movies like that yet. She's only 2 years old. We watched Nightmare Before Christmas, and she loves it. But, I mean, there is such a real connection between people. It's almost like you've been indoctrinated into this, like, subculture by blood, man. It's like, if you can watch these movies and handle it and talk about it, other than they're like, I liked it. No. What did you like about it? Right. What did, you know, do you wear horror movie shirts every day? You know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've friends 25, 30 years. We've been friends and watching horror movies together, you know?
Yeah.
I think Monday, 2 days, we're going to go watch Zombieland too, because I got to see it. Yeah. I must see this movie.
I'm going Monday night, too.
Forget about it.
Yeah. You
know, we're going. So.
Best date movies, too.
Yes, they are.
Oh, I must agree, yes.
Yeah, but hey, you know, she cuddles up next to you because, you know, she doesn't like guys with chainsaws ripping through people, so she got to hold you a little closer.
Yeah, hold on to me. I'm scared.
Hey, you know, I don't know if I told you this, but I actually proposed to my wife during Hellraiser.
During Hellraiser?
She had never seen a horror movie, and I put on Hellraiser, and I proposed to her.
What part?
Whenever she is opening the box in the hospital.
What's wrong with this
guy? Yeah.
And the Cenobites come in.
They come through the wall, and they're like, he's
we
like,
have
no,
such
yeah.
sights to show you.
That's right.
Doug Bradley.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Oldman had a hard-on for being a horror icon after that because he was jealous of Doug Bradley. So that's what inspired him to do Bram Stoker's Dracula a few years later.
Oh, yeah. Masterpiece, man. Yeah. Just a masterpiece.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves, Winona Ryder. Yeah,
Gary Oldman, the master, man. It's like,
He's freaky in that movie too.
Oh yeah. When he's crawling around on the ceiling, or just the makeup when he's young, or when he's old, and when he's that werewolf and he's beating that girl up, man. He's beating her up, and it's like, oh yeah, you're having sex with a werewolf. This is not gonna end well for you.
Yeah, I know.
They're like, they're gonna be at the parties. I think that's the girl that had sex with the werewolf. Don't talk to her.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, thanks, Daniel, for sharing us your top five. Yeah.
Anytime.
Thanks for letting us be at your store again and harassing customers.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're like, can I reach behind you there, buddy, and get that Spawn figure? Sure. You do a better price?
All right, give you a better price.
Oh, no, this is great. I love this, and I think you guys are awesome. The show is awesome, and hopefully, you know, we'll just keep trucking and do some more. And I love this time of the year. It's like Christmas for me, for sure, you know.
Yeah. This is a good time of the year.
Peace out.
Finally get some good weather. Thank you, Daniel. So do y'all have top fives?
I do.
Yeah. I can
for some reason I have top four. I don't know why. I thought I could count to five.
Yeah.
Apparently I can't. I looked at my list and it's only four.
Okay.
But you know.
Okay.
What's up, Pedro?
Hey, man.
Hey. So I'll start off the list. My I did already the honorable mention. So number five for me. the first horror movie I ever watched, and I was like 3 years old or 4 years old.
Yeah.
It's Poltergeist.
Ooh, nice.
And the scene that scares me the most is the tree attack.
I knew you were going to say the tree attack.
Yeah, that's good.
The tree attack, and then later on in life, there was a puppet attack. Because I was so scared of the tree attack, I never saw the movie again. But when I rewatched it again at 2 years later, at 7 years old, mm-hmm. I didn't realize there was a puppet attack, too. So I got scared twice by that movie.
Nice.
And then the third scariest part of the movie, it was not a jump scare or anything, but it was the moment where one of the ghost investigators mm-hmm. went to the kitchen and started eating out of the family.
Oh, yeah.
And then he saw one of the steaks had maggots and stuff. And for some reason, that scene scared me as a kid. I don't know why. It seemed very claustrophobic.
Yeah.
That's my
Number five for me is 2003's Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Whenever the old man's beating on the floor, he's like, "You don't know what you've started," and he knocks three times, and then Leatherface just pops out of the door and starts chasing both of them away. And I was in theaters when I saw it, so I think that's why it had such a bigger effect on me. It was a jump scare. But I thought it was a really good throwback to 1974's Chainsaw Massacre, and that was probably one of my favorite scary moments in the top five.
Well, since I can't count and I only did four, we'll do number four. I went kind of non-traditional with these, unlike you guys, because I have a number four. I remember seeing it in theaters, and it's not the whole movie. It's the news broadcast during Signs. When they're watching it and the alien goes across the screen, I remember that's probably the only time I screamed in a theater. I was like, "Oh, shit!" You know? And that's still scary, that scene.
With Joaquin Phoenix?
Yes. Yeah. That movie, I still have a hard time watching that film. It's really freaky to me, that movie. Because I've always kind of had a thing about, like, are aliens real and stuff? So I guess that movie's, like, the closest thing that what it might be like if they're aliens, you know? Because I feel that movie is very much grounded in some reality of what it might be like if we were to have an alien invasion, you know, especially if you're living out in the farm like that.
That's true.
So, that's my number four.
My number four is from Jaws. The scene that scared me the most was when Hooper was investigating Ben Gardner's boat. It was a wreck. And there was a jump scare of Ben Gardner's head popped out into the from the underwater hole. In the boat.
Yeah,
that's
cool. So we'll somehow
they wasn't expecting that jump scare. That was my number four.
Number four for me is Black Christmas, 1974. Whenever the killer he puts this plastic bag over this girl's head and just like pulls her back against a chair and suffocates her, and it's just it's a very brutal scene, and it happens really fast, and she's struggling really hard in the film, and it made me afraid of like plastic bags. It made me look at plastic bags differently, just kind of cautiously. I always think about that scene now, so it's impacted me through the rest of my life, so that's why I have that one at number four.
So we all did four, right?
Yeah.
At three, I have actually, we brought it up earlier in the show, the ending of Seven.
Oh,
actually,
nice.
That movie still horrifies me to this day. You know, being a family man and stuff like that, it's kind of really pretty horrifying movie.
Yeah, if you have a stalker or something.
Yeah. And I still think it's Fincher's best work, arguably. You know, even though he won a... Has he won an Oscar yet? No, I don't think he won an Oscar for that, though. He just got nominated.
I want to say Seven won something.
Yeah, well, I meant like a big Oscar. I meant like, I don't think any of his films have won Best Picture yet.
No, but there was a lot of elements in that film that were really good. The storyboard was great. Fincher was excellent. The cinematography was from the French cinematographer that did Delicatessen and City of Lost Children. And then everything went right. You had people that dropped out and people that came in, like, you know, Al Pacino was going to be Somerset, and instead, you know, we get Morgan Freeman. And I feel like he was a better cast, and you know, and the other one. So go back if you don't know what happened with that film. Go back and listen to our Seven episode,
right?
Because there's a lot of stuff that went into that film that probably shouldn't have happened, but it happened anyways, and it was great.
So we're at number three. Mm-hmm. Now, did you pick your number four?
I did four, yeah. That's why we're on three now.
got lost long. Oh, pay attention.
Yours is 7 also?
No. No.
He just kept babbling, that's all.
Yeah, I just elaborated.
So what was your number four?
My number four was Black Christmas.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, okay.
Number three, long.
Number three. What's your number three? It's
the Indian 7.
Yeah.
What? You're already at three?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. My number three is from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Ooh.
And
I thought I went non-traditional.
Yeah. Well, I said any scary movie.
Yeah.
It didn't have to. I mean, any movie.
All right.
It doesn't have to be scary.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be horror. But yeah, that scene was pretty horrific. Where they were doing the Kali Ma ritual in Temple of Doom, and that poor anemic looking teenage boy or kid got his heart pulled out by what was the priest's name?
I forget. I just remember the words Kali Ma.
Yeah.
Kali Ma. Kali Ma. Yeah. That was a scary scene, and that heart beating as fast.
Yes.
The faster the cage went down towards the lava, and it was pretty scary. Pretty dark.
Yeah.
And that's my number three. I saw that when I was 8. So it's pretty traumatizing.
My number three is Phantasm. Whenever the teenage boy is thinking that he's getting with a woman in the graveyard, but it's really the old caretaker, the old man, is just trying to get his body. And his little brother interrupts him, and it's like Austin Powers says, "That's not a woman, that's a man, baby." It's pretty freaky.
That's cool.
You don't know if you know.
You and your random references. You just throw me off. I'm like, what?
That's the one with the orb. You know, the orb.
Yeah, the orb flies around the old man.
Phantasm 3. That's what the one you're talking about, probably with the black girl with the nunchucks. No, you don't remember that one, Phantasm 3.
I've only seen Phantasm 1 and 2.
Okay. No. Yeah, Phantasm 3 is the girl with the nunchucks.
They did like four of them, didn't they? Four or five of them?
Yeah.
For some reason, J.J. Abrams loves those.
Yeah.
They're interesting. Different kind of horror. It's almost has some sci-fi elements to them.
Yeah.
Captain Phasma was named after the Phantasm movies.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he took out the letters and then because he loved the Phantasm series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Phasma was a derivative from the Phantasm.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Juan.
Number two.
The original Alien, the chest bursting scene.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
I don't think I need to say much more than that because it's still horrifying 40 years later.
Yeah.
It's scary as hell. Because especially the actors and their reactions and everything, they do such a good job of looking horrified themselves. So, and we did that movie earlier this year during our sci-fi month.
Yeah.
The original Alien.
Yeah, that's a great one. My number two, it's The Grudge, the American remake, and it's just one scene where the security footage video, they're watching, one character was watching the security footage of the hallway, and you see the Grudge girl,
that creepy sound.
The creepy sound she makes, and then you see it, her in the footage down the hallway, and she's slowly creeping slower, quicker, closer to the camera, and then all of a sudden the picture goes black and you see her eyes staring back. That was like, no, I'm done. That's scary.
I saw that in theaters. That was quite a creepy movie in theaters.
Mine's Child's Play. Whenever she's trying to get the doll to talk, and she lights the fireplace and she's like, "Talk, you little bastard, I'll throw you in the fire." And he's like, and he turns around and he says some words that I can't say here because there's children present. But it's like, it made me look at dolls differently. The rest, and there was a doll that wouldn't, like we took the batteries out of a doll that my sister had, and its head was still moving and stuff. It was one of those,
Chuck
fancy
you right
dolls.
Over there.
Yeah. And we actually, beat the heck out of the doll and threw it in the trash. My mom didn't like it because apparently it cost a lot of money, but me and my cousin, it freaked us out, and we did away with it, threw it away.
My number one is... a movie we did last year in Halloween Horrors. I still think the introduction of Freddy Krueger is still pretty horrifying when he first comes out, because he doesn't say anything. This is pre-slapstick Freddy, where he's just doing his thing and being really frightening. And that whole opening sequence, the original Nightmare on Elm Street, I think is still kind of scary for me. I think it's one of the horror movies as a kid that kind of scared me a little bit. I probably peed myself as a child, and it still scares me. Nice. And I think that's a good sequence. I think he has the best intro of any of the horror icons, me personally. I think he beats out Jason, Michael, and all those guys with his intro in that film.
For me, my number one has to be The Ring. I like the remake, the American remake, directed by Gore Verbinski. And I like how it built and built and built on the urban legend of, you know, Samara.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch the videotape, 5 days later you die. And the final scene in the movie where Samara attacks Naomi Watts' boyfriend
mm-hmm.
for watching the tape. And he's coming out of the TV.
That was freaky.
That was freaky.
And her foot hits the ground, and she's walking all awkward.
Yeah.
And there's puddles of water just going everywhere.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And honorable mention, part of that movie was the scene where the horse jumps off the boat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's a disturbing scene. But I just couldn't forget the boat running over the horse with the propellers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or suggested that the boat ran over the horse. It didn't show it. You saw the blood come out. That's kind of random. Why didn't you put that?
I saw a lot of it.
Yeah.
But did you know that in Japan that there's The Grudge versus The Ring?
Wow.
Really? Movie.
Yeah. Like Freddy versus Jason, but The Grudge versus The Ring?
It was Sudoku versus the Grudge Lady.
Wow.
That's funny.
I heard it was bad.
Yeah. I will say my number one has to be whenever they are attacking it, Pennywise, the original one.
Okay.
And this is battery acid, you swine. And he's like showing his full teeth and just looks really gruesome. And I think it, you know, changed the way I looked at clowns for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So most of mine are like just stuff that made me look at things different, made me think twice, and just brings me back to whenever I was a kid and was watching, you know, it with John Ritter.
You're still a kid, Matt.
Yeah. Always a kid at heart. Biggest kid in the room.
It made me appreciate Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald. Yes.
Yeah.
More Ronald.
Yeah.
Or Krusty. I'll take Krusty for animated.
So that's our top five scary moments in movies.
Yeah.
And thanks to Daniel again for sharing his.
Oh yeah.
And
shared his.
So we have a spooky story today.
It's pretty long, but I don't know if we.
I'll take pictures and then I'll post.
If we don't do it today.
Or do you want to do some news?
Let's do news. I'll have to make up for it by sharing some scary stories next time.
I have a short one.
Go ahead.
So my son, you know, he would go outside and, you know, say, hey, can I go play with Ronaldo next door? I'm like, okay, cool, no problem, whatever. So he'd go outside, and this went on for about a week. And the other day I went outside and I was talking to a neighbor, and I realized the house next door was a little overgrown. And I was like, hey, you know, what's going on with the renter at that place? He's like, oh, well, he's selling the house, but he hasn't, you know, got it up to keep yet. And I was like, well, you know, what's your son's name? He's like, oh, you know, my son's name is Lewis. And it's like, it's not Ronaldo. He's like, he's supposed to be going to that house and playing with some child. Like, no, that house has been vacant for weeks.
See you, mañana.
Stop letting Jake watch horror movies.
There you go. I just, you know, came up with that one.
Oh, there's a scary story.
Weak sauce.
Oh,
the engine light came on.
Here's a scary one. It's election day. And Donald Trump is elected 4 more years.
Now you are reaching.
Almost
on that note,
Stephen King,
since Matt gave us a lame story, let's do some news.
The news.
It's not a lot of news, so it won't take long. Yeah. We have a couple of Cassie announcements. Paul Dano is going to play the Riddler, and Matt Reeves is the Batman. I actually like this casting. If you've ever seen him in Let There Be Blood, he's really good. He can definitely play kind of crazy. Little Miss Sunshine. He's not real super known, but if you follow films and you've seen him and stuff, he's good. I think he'll be really good in the role. And then in the same film, Zoe Kravitz is going to play Catwoman. And I like this casting. She's really good in some of the few things. You know, she was in Mad Max Fury Road. And a few other things, and I like it. I think she's got the spunkiness and the vibe to bring Catwoman to the screen.
Pretty swell.
You know,
swell.
Pretty swell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1970s word, swell.
Splendid.
Yeah.
It's rad, dude.
Yeah.
Rad.
awesome to the max.
Are you guys familiar with Bone, the Jeff Smith comic from the 90s?
Yes.
One of my favorite comics of all time. Won a
you
lot of
two leathers.
Won, no, it won a lot of Eisner Awards, and Jeff Smith's been trying to get it made into it. It almost became an animated film by Nickelodeon several years ago.
It has humor.
Oh yeah, it's a fantasy and humor. Oh. It's about these three characters from the world of Boneville, and they go on a quest to. It's basically a quest story, and they come across all these different characters along the way, and it's written for children, but also for adults. And Netflix is going to finally bring it to the screen in animated form. So I think that's really good news. It's really great stuff. Bone is excellent. It's one of the best comics I've ever read.
The series has ended, right?
That's It ran about 150 issues, I think, or so. So, yeah, really good show. And to stay on the animated front, Studio Ghibli, people have been trying to buy the rights for streaming their stuff for years. They finally sold to HBO. HBO Max, the new Warner Brothers HBO streaming service, is going to have all the Studio Ghibli films. They had been in a bidding. Well, Disney let their rights go a couple years ago. Remember, they sold them to Universal. That's why all the new Blu-rays are Universal releases.
Okay.
Disney did not renew their contract with Studio Ghibli, so Universal owns it now. And Universal said, Warner Brothers, you want to stream them? Here you go. So, Well, it's a joint between Studio Ghibli and Universal as far as the streaming rights. So from what I understand,
bringing on the heat.
So that's kind of big news in some ways in the streaming wars, with Disney Plus coming out in a few weeks and Netflix trying to do things. Like the Cowboy Bebop series got delayed 7 to 9 months. John Chow got hurt on set.
I saw someone say recast him, and I'm like, no.
No, he's perfect as Spike. Yeah.
Well, recast him to a white man. Is that what they want? No, I'm joking.
Damn it, Log, stop doing that.
You mean recast him as Scarlett Johansson now? Get it right.
Is that what it is?
Have Scarlett Johansson
still
play.
White, though.
Yeah, but it's Scarlett Johansson. She can play anybody.
Talk about cast Asian early this year.
She's Asian.
She's not.
Yeah. So-ish.
Just because she was the Ghost in the Shell?
Yeah. I saw her as an Asian, lieutenant in Ghost in the Shell.
Which is funny because in that film, even the writer of Ghost in the Shell said he had no problem with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
He said he didn't write the character necessarily as an Asian.
Why don't we cast George Hamilton as
an Asian
Zorro.
Character? Yeah.
As Zorro?
Wait a minute. No.
Did you say Zorro?
Yeah. Guy Hamilton.
Well, I mean, we had his name as Zorro?
Antonio Banderas?
No, not Antonio Banderas. Why can't I think of his name?
Because no one cares.
No, he was in.
Never mind.
Hearts in Atlantis.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Let's preview.
Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah.
He played old Zorro.
Yeah, he played old Zorro. It was a white man. Zorro was originally white.
That's okay. And Sean Connery was Spanish and played.
Yeah.
A Spaniard and Highlander, so it doesn't matter.
Hey man, whatever works.
Preview our
next
movie.
Week's film, man. We're gonna end Halloween Horrors Month with just like we did last year with a kid film. Yeah. Because all this scary violence and
this wasn't the kid film.
No, this was not a kid film.
Darn.
But we've done a lot of dark, violent stuff the last few weeks, so we got to bring it back down so that we don't go crazy.
Yeah,
and we're gonna do
Paranorman.
Leica Studios Paranorman. Yeah.
Meet Norman Babcock. His family is a little annoying.
Norman!
Can't you be like other kids your age and...
I thought you said kids my age were too busy shoplifting and joyriding.
His friend is slightly peculiar.
Will you get the door?
I'm busy.
Are you freeze-framing Mom's aerobics DVD again?
No.
And he has a gift.
Morning.
That is rather strange.
Hi, nice to see you guys.
Hey, peace, man.
Totally. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Can you see ghosts, all the time? Yeah. Awesome.
Now, you know who I am.
The weird, stinky old bum who lives up the hill?
I was asking him.
I'll bet no one told you about the witch's curse, did they?
To save his town.
The ghost is going to wake up and raise the dead. You're the one who has to stop it.
He'll need a little help.
I got you.
And a lot of courage.
What do we do, Mitch?
I don't know.
You're the oldest.
Not mentally.
This summer.
Norman!
So, Norman.
When the zombies come knocking.
Is everyone all right? Nobody got bitten?
I bit a tongue. Did that count?
Only true heroes.
I figured it out. I know a way to stop this.
Oh, yeah.
Can answer the call.
What's really scary?
There's nothing wrong with being scared, Norman. So long as you don't let it change who you are.
Paranorman.
Which is a really fun movie. Leica Studios has done some really good stuff. A Kubo and the Two Three Strings is absolutely amazing film. And this is too. This is really good. And you know, I heard that they were almost went under, but I guess they got some financing and they're going to make one more film. I don't know what it is. So it looks like Leica Studios is going to continue. But Paranorman, which is a really good kid horror film.
Yeah, I agree with you. Is this the one where he brings back people's pets?
It's been a while since I've watched it.
I want to say that is.
I have it on at find home. Out. Yes. So that'll be next week on the show, Paranorman.
I have it kid on my Voodoo account.
Kid-friendly show. But, you know, this has been fun.
This has been
Thanks,
fun.
As always, to Misfit Toys and Daniel for letting us come and record here. And we do appreciate it. And go to therebelradiopodcast.com and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. And we'll show always comes out on Monday morning around 7 a.m. I usually release show Central Time. For those people who live in other states, you know, Central Time, 7 a.m. Monday morning is usually when the show comes out. But and it was fun. That's all I got.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
And until next time, it's been really real. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Londo Fuhrer. Du bist für eine Blume.
What? Until next time, just go there and do it.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.